Hazard, thanks for the care package today. Appreciate that. The chili.
Yeah, he was.
How was
me.
It?
He's got some chili in your freezer for me.
It was delicious.
And some peaches.
Man, peaches.
Peaches.
I had the chili and peaches today for lunch. So, little too saucy, the chili was.
Was it?
A little too saucy, but it was okay. Spice was nice.
I went a little mild on this one. I didn't go as
heavy. Oh, you made it?
Jeffy made it.
I thought it was left over from the...
No.
Oh, well.
It's got pork in there, but I didn't go heavy on the chili powder.
You know, I'm trying to stay kosher.
He's kidding, Hazard.
The look on his face. Now you're telling me.
What? Well, I'm still trying to envision you in that Enco shirt. What's that about?
It's about I couldn't grab anything to put on today, so I just grabbed the first thing in the clothes bin, and it's the Enco shirt.
That's where nice.
I used to work there.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Broadcast Automation Company, Enco.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you remember last week, Ron?
No.
Hazard went into this big, long sermon about his new bag. He had retired the Osaka bag.
Oh, yeah, because there was a notice from our president, Vic Bondi.
He's my president, too.
Yeah,
well, you guys need to come to club meetings, then, and pay your dues.
Say that the famed Osaka blue bag would not relate to the cotton polyester crowd, so it was being retired.
So today, before I came here, I was at the 2018 North American International Auto Show.
You were this afternoon?
Yeah.
Well.
I was in and out of there in an hour.
Really?
There were so many people in there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I went in. I saw the Bullitt Mustang, which is all I really wanted to see. Yeah. I wanted to look at work vans, too, but there weren't any there on display, which I found odd. I wanted to look at Teslas, but there weren't any there.
The band or the...
No, the car. I wanted to look at the new Buick station wagon, which I got to see. Very sporty-looking wagon.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I want to look at?
Teslas will never be at that show.
They've been there before.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen them. And I wanted to look at the new Corvette, because I'm a Corvette fan.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was walking, then I was going to go try to see our friends from Warrior Racing in the basement. But my foot started hurting, my legs started hurting, so I'm like, I'm getting out of here. But for you, Ron, I did walk by Radio Row.
Oh, good.
To see who was there. WWJ was there. There was some sort of engineer-type guy out there with a laptop.
Yeah.
There was, is there a 910 AM?
Yeah, Superstation 910, Kevy Adell's station out there in Detroit.
Okay, well, they were doing a broadcast from there, actually.
Yeah, the yellow and black logo, the big circle. And
yeah, it sounds right.
Did you see their microphones? They've got reproduction microphones.
I wasn't really paying that much attention. Right.
44DXs.
There was a young lady there who seemed to be the host, and then there was a gentleman there who seemed to be the guest. I didn't really hear what they were talking about. Oh, they were talking about organic food. And he was saying how hard it is to find American-grown organic food in your supermarket. And then she mentioned Whole Foods as I was walking by. So
yeah.
I did somewhat pay attention. But then a little bit further on down the way, our Secretary of State had a booth. Do you know who our Secretary of State is? It's not Richard H. Austin.
No.
Which surprised the heck out of me.
he was Secretary of State for 50 years.
Right. And then there was Candace Miller, right?
Yeah.
Do you know who our Secretary of State is now?
Ruth Johnson.
Ruth Johnson.
Yeah.
What do I get for that?
Nothing.
Oh, man.
But she was passing out these bags, and initially I walked by.
So she was there?
No. She had representatives there.
Okay.
She might have been there. I don't know who she is, but it was a dude.
A dude.
He's passing out bags, and he went to hand me one. I'm like, nah, I'm good. And I kept walking. I'm like, wait a minute. If Hazard has a blue bag, I should have a blue bag. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So I picked it up, and there's some very interesting information, Secretary of State information on here.
Such as?
That you can now renew a registration tab with Print and Go and purchase a recreation passport for your car, motorcycle, truck, or watercraft.
That's convenient.
You can renew or replace your standard driver's license or standard state ID. But every 8 years, you need to go in,
yeah,
according to the bag. You can replace or get duplicate vehicle registrations or titles. You can join the organ donor registry. You can change or update your personal information, such as address, phone number, and emergency contact information. This is all on this bag.
How convenient.
Are you ready for a real ID that you must have a driver's license ID card or other document that meets federal real ID rules after October 1st, 2020? Anyway, you can do all this at michigan.gov/real ID, all in capital letters. But anyway, what really fascinated me, Ron, is, you know, the is it the Grammys that are coming up
tonight?
Everybody's talking about
tonight. Yeah.
So they get swag bags, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they go to the Grammys, the Oscars,
$30,000 worth
this,
of swag.
This is our tax dollars at work right here. There's swag in this bag.
Whoa. What kind of
and
swag?
I'm like, this is what I thought. I said, this is going to be great show material. I haven't even looked at it yet. It's got this in there, has it, so it makes it a firm bottom, right?
Well, wait a minute. Did you want to just kind of...
I'll blast through it real quick. We got time.
No, we got time. I was just going to say we'll start the show, and then we can go on and log all
this suspense.
Stuff. Yeah.
Leave them wondering. Suspense. Okay. But before we do that, before we go back to the blue bag, someone gave me this at work the other day. You know, I work in the automotive industry, so people think I like cars, but I really don't. But they gave me this classic car calendar that I thought we could use for the show here.
Sure.
We used to have the train calendar, which we don't anymore.
The train calendar is up in the kitchen.
So
calendar is on the dining room table.
Okay. Well,
so the cars calendar we can put in Studio A here.
Okay, yeah. It's got some of them are like, you know, zooped up rods, and other of them look to be in, you know, like they were initially intended.
Okay. Let's get this show going then.
And when we come back, we'll tell you what was in
absolutely.
The Secretary of State's swag bag.
The views and comments expressed on the following program do not reflect those of the Avondale or Bloomfield Hills school districts, their respective school board superintendents, managers, teachers, or staff, or the staff of WBFH, its management or staff either. In fact, the only person responsible for the content of the following program is...
Hazard!
If you happen to be offended by what we say and are forced to flee to your locally designated safe place, we humbly apologize beforehand. We mean no harm and certainly have no agenda. We're just exercising our privilege... And it is a privilege to take the transmitter out for a short drive this evening. Once we're done, we'll return the keys to the transmitter shack, and then we'll set the alarm and then duck out the back door. So please, don't call the cops. We can't afford bail. Instead, just relax and enjoy our little old dog and pony show.
It's time to dust off the Atwater Kent and have another go at it. Bloomfield Community Radio presents Motor City Static, the only live and local thing happening this side of the railroad tracks. Turn off that TV. Put down that cell phone. Throw away that trashy novel.
But it was no pictures anyway.
We've got a better way to waste your quality time. And all you need to do is pay attention. From the studios somewhere near the Grand Trunk Western, Motor City Static is on the air.
Emanating from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious confines of a studio near the Grand Trunk Western, it is us. We is it. Ron, Chuck, and Hazard, Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Heard on great stations such as WBFH, Bloomfield Hills, and the station for alteration, 89.5 WAHS.
Ooh, yeah, they've changed it, huh?
Auburn
the station
Hills.
For alteration.
No, it always has been the station for alteration, but for some reason I just drew a blank, so I got castigated for not dropping their slogan. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be a good network host and recognize that they do have a slogan.
So we're syndicated, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get another couple stations on board, too. But
well, that'd be nice.
One of them's an AM out in the Grand Rapids area.
Oh.
So trying to do that. This is the 28th day of January, 2018. There are 337 days left in the year. If you're keeping track, if you're in prison and you're waiting for parole at the end of the year, you've got 337 days to go.
Yeah.
Today's highlight in history, on January 28th, 1973, a ceasefire officially went into effect in the Vietnam War, a day after the signing of the Paris Peace Accords by the United States, North Vietnam, and South Vietnam. So that's it. That's... came to an end on this day back in 73. In 1547...
Whoa, they kept records back then? In 1547?
Yeah.
Okay.
Henry VIII died.
Oh, my.
He was succeeded by?
Henry the Ninth.
No, Edward the Sixth.
I'd have got that wrong.
Yeah, Edward the Sixth was 9 years old. Wow. A 9-year-old king.
I want chocolate all day long.
I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. Henry the Eighth, I am, I am.
In 1878, the first daily college newspaper, the Yale News, which is now the Yale Daily News, began publication in New Haven, Connecticut. In 1915, the United States Coast Guard was created by President Woodrow Wilson. He signed a bill merging the Life-Saving Service and the Revenue Cutter Service. Congress created the bill, and Woodrow Wilson signed it. William Butler Yeats died in Menton, France on this day in 1939, just before my mom was born.
How about that?
Mom was born on Groundhog's Day.
No kidding.
1939.
Did you see your shadow?
I don't know if I'm stepping on your toes with this next one, but for this day in rock history, but in 1956, Elvis Presley made his first national TV appearance.
I did see that, but I talked about Elvis last week, so I'm going to skip that one.
Yeah, the show was a stage show, a CBS program hosted by Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, the Dorsey brothers who fought a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get along. In 1986, the space...
Wait a minute. On my thing, it says it was Scotty Moore and Bill Black.
For what?
For the hosts of Elvis's show in 1956.
Well, it was
appearance on the Dorsey Brothers stage show. Okay, I got it.
Goodness gracious. In 1986, the space shuttle Challenger exploded. I remember driving home from Wayne State when I heard that go down. 73 seconds after liftoff from Cape Canaveral.
I remember that as well.
Krista McAuliffe was the school teacher of note. That was a big deal. The first teacher in space, and then it went up. In 1999, Ford Motor Company announced it was buying Volvo, and then it turned around and sold it in 2010 to China.
Okay.
So that's that. 10 years ago, George W. Bush, in his last State of the Union address, urged passage of an economic stimulus package and asked Americans to remain patient with a long, grinding war in Iraq. And 5 years ago, let's see. Oh, you know... You think that things change? They don't. The more they change, the more they stay the same. Leading Democrat and Republican senators pledged to propel far-reaching immigration legislation through the Senate by summer, providing a possible path to citizenship for an estimated 11 million people in the U.S. illegally. This was 5 years ago, and they're still debating it now.
Wow. Well, yeah, they take a long time to figure this stuff out.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, a federal judge a year ago in New York issued an emergency order temporarily barring the United States from deporting people from nations subject to President Donald Trump's travel ban, which I think is still going through the courts.
I think it is.
Alan Alda is 82 degrees. Yeah, goodness
gracious.
Let's
hope he's not that cold.
Oh, too much caffeine there, Ron. Alan Alda is 82. Barbie Benton is 68.
Wow.
Yeah. Pastor Rick Warren is 64. Former French President Nicolas Sarkozy is 63. Sarah McLachlan is 50. Mo Rocca, the humorist, is 49. DJ Muggs from Cypress Hill is 50. And that's probably all I recognize.
All right.
And that's it. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network.
So are you ready now to
yes,
find
let's
out
finish
what
what's in the big old
Ruth
gift bag?
Johnson put in her swag bag here?
Yes.
She gave us, this is our tax dollars at work.
Okay.
Two information cards for Real ID and why you need one and why Congress enacted.
So what's in a Real ID card?
It is a federal ID card. There's some standards that were created under the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2011, and we're based on recommendations from the 9/11 Commission.
So it's a national ID card.
Yes. That you have to travel. So this happened in 2001, and it takes effect in 2020. talking about how long it takes to get things into effect.
Yeah.
So I'll leave these here for future reference.
Absolutely.
Another thing she gave us, since Real ID is going to be so important, is luggage tags.
You got luggage tags.
Three luggage tags, which were made in China, coincidentally. So there's three of them, one for me, one for you, and one for Hazard.
All right.
Because I'm not going anywhere. And then my friend Randy, who sometimes rides with me in the van on cross-state missions to find rare and exotic aquarium fish, is going to be very happy to know that I now have a brand new roadmap for my van.
There you go.
She gave us two of those as well. I don't know if people use roadmaps anymore.
No, you've got your smartphone.
Because you got your smartphone and your GPS units, but Randy always says, you got a map in this van?
You never know.
And so I'm going to have a map in the van. I got two of those. Hazard, you got a smartphone, right?
Yes, I do.
You need a map?
No, I don't.
No? Ron, you need a map?
No.
All right, I'll keep both maps. But and that's all that was in the swag bag. Luggage tags, roadmaps, and information cards for Real ID. So it's a nice bag, too.
It's looks like a quality bag.
Canvas. It's got, what's that thing called that goes in the bottom to keep the bottom stiff, Hazard?
Well,
you were talking
about
the
gusset.
I've got a gusset.
You've got a gusset on the side.
Yeah. No, no gusset on the side.
None?
The gusset is the part that makes it unfold like a shopping bag. Right, Hazard? Hazard, pay attention.
Gusset is this thing.
Put your phone down.
Gusset's this thing.
It's a thing that expands, right?
Yeah.
Make it like a grocery bag.
Yeah.
An old school grocery bag.
Yeah.
It's a gusset.
The bag was made in the States or in China? Is there a tag?
I know. Wait, there is a tag.
Let's see where it is. I bet you it's China.
Made of recycled material. Well, that's nice.
In? Product
made of? Made in China.
Thank you.
Contains 20% recycled post-industrial content.
I hope we can bring back some of these industries to the States. Make a bag in Michigan. You think you'd go out and find made in USA stuff. You'd think.
I started carrying, you know those air pumps that plug into your cigarette lighter in your car for emergency purposes?
Yeah, those are handy.
Yeah, well, I've had one for a long, long time that my dad got me. Had it forever. But it's always been in the garage. And then the other day I was in the garage. I mean, this isn't doing me any good here. So I put it in the van. And today I was straightening things up in the van a little bit. And I had to move it out of the van, and I was putting it back in, and I noticed it says Made in the USA on it.
Good.
So it's probably worth money, because I doubt you can find one of those things made in the USA anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever been used.
I try to buy stuff from the States whenever I can.
Yeah, I'm going to start that photo series one of these days on Facebook, my Made in the USA photo series. And every time I find something or buy something that's made in the USA, I'm going to take a picture and post it.
I'd appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Hazard's got his hair up in a ponytail tonight, looking...
copycat.
Rather professional.
Mm-hmm.
When he knocked on the door this morning with the chili, I didn't recognize him because his hair was up. I said, oh, you got a haircut. No.
Can't do that.
No.
So I wish I could grow a ponytail, but I can't.
Well, just let your hair grow. Stop going to the barber.
I'm follicularly challenged.
Follicularly challenged?
Yeah.
All right.
So that's about it.
Okay.
Motor City Static's heard every Sunday night here on the Biff Radio Network on 88.1 WBFH Bloomfield Hills and 89.5 WAHS. We always, always, always have a good time. We've got some guests coming up in the next couple of weeks. Next weekend, we are not on the air. There will be a best of, simply because it is Super Bowl Sunday. And we'll
big
be
game. Big, that's off.
Yeah. We can't say Super Bowl.
We're watching the big game.
Big game. So we'll be over at Cousin Tim's there, enjoying ourselves. Chuck, you able to go or are you passing?
I'm going to pass again this year.
All right.
More, I have to...
more food for us.
Work early the next day, and I don't want to leave in the middle.
Understood. It's one of the big call-in sick days.
I know. I tried to get it off legit, but I may be in a training class. I'm not sure.
They wouldn't let you take it off, huh?
No, it was all blocked already.
All right. So then I guess Hazard and I will be riding together.
Just let me know what I need to bring.
Food.
Like what? Like,
you already said what you were going to bring. He did.
He said he was bringing
my meatballs. Famous meatballs.
And then when we were talking, you said you were going to take pecan pie or something.
Oh, did I?
Did I dream that?
You dreamed it.
Speaking of dreams, I told him.
Did you tell him about that dream?
I did.
Oh, my God.
I had a dream the other night that you sold Hazard a rusty old black Mustang with bad tires.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't that old. It was from, like, the 80s. Well, Hazard was all proud of it.
And he bought it?
He, like, met me in an abandoned Kmart parking lot to show it to me. And he pulls up. He's all happy. I'm like, wow, this is it, huh, Hazard? I was trying to be, you know.
Nice.
He's like, yeah. And then he looked at it and saw the rust. He goes, it's all rusty. What am I going to do with that? And when he had pulled in, he did that sports car pulling, you know, where he had turned the tires.
Yeah.
He looked down and saw the tires. He's like, the tires are bad on this thing. What the heck? And I was just about to tell him where he could go get some good, inexpensive tires. And I woke up. There was a rust spot right by the radio antenna.
Yeah.
You know, because they used to be on the front fender of the antennas, and there was like a hole rusted through there.
It's
all faded black.
Why would it?
There's no, they're like the wheels, like, you know, where they used to have hubcaps, but there's no hubcaps anymore. They were all rusty, bad tires, and Hazard pulls up, this great big old smile on his face.
Look what I got
does
here.
That sports car turn the wheels thing, gets up.
What do you think?
Oh, looks good, Hazard. A little bit of a fixer upper. So, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just put a little Bondo here and a little duct tape there, and it's good as new.
No, he was actually kind of angry once he noticed the rust.
What?
And I bought it from you.
Yeah, but why would you buy it if you didn't you inspect the car from me first?
The only thing that makes sense about this whole dream is that you would sell Hazard a rusty Ford.
I would.
Hazard wouldn't buy a Ford. I've never known him to own a Ford. Have you ever owned a Ford?
I have a Ranger. I had a Ford Ranger at one time.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah.
I love it.
I was
like, say he sold the car to me at night.
He's no longer my friend. No chili for you.
All right, music time here in Motor City Static. What we got, Uncle Chuck?
Well, one of the Born on This Days that you forgot, Ron, or didn't get to, or maybe you didn't know who it was or read past it, one of my musical heroes, guitarist for The Alarm, Dave Sharp. The Alarm had a hit in 1983, and it went on the UK charts at number 17 with 68 Guns, but this is off of one of his solo CDs called Hard Travelin'. This is the last smiling villain from the South on Motor City Static.
A lot of other things going on in and around the city. There's the Michigan State scandal. Looks really, really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. Wow, they're going. They're AD going after is residing in.
Yeah,
it.
They're going after everybody there. And other things as such over there. Want to say hi to David Dyke. David Dyke was on the broadcast here about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's an automotive engineer.
Of Soul Cracker fame.
And he's in Shanghai, China, listening to us tonight.
Long distance listeners.
That's right, over the pole.
All right.
So he's there until the beginning of April.
Wow.
Whoa, that's a long time.
Yeah, so he's
Soul Cracker's on a bit of a hiatus?
I'm not sure. Maybe he flies in to play with them and then he flies out. I don't know. But that's like 15 hours in a plane.
Sorry, Beijing, I got a gig in Detroit. I'll be back in a week.
Yeah, I couldn't be on a plane that long. I'd go nuts.
It's a long flight.
It is. Over the pole, Detroit to China, it's direct flight, you know, because of the automotive business. All right, first segment is done here. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. We're going to pause for the cause, as they say, and we'll be back with more stuff right here on the Biff Radio Network. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Let's see, a lot of things going on here.
Rod, did you know
to figure out which one I want to attack first.
Ash Wednesday is same day as Valentine's Day this year.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
April 1st, Valentine's Day, is Easter.
Wow.
April Fool's Day, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, April Fool's
Day.
Kind of
a crazy day.
Church double booked twice.
Yeah.
They didn't check the calendar.
Guess not.
Let's see. We said hi to Dave Dyke.
You'll love this one.
What?
Pastor Scott, again. I was driving into my car this morning listening to some Van Halen. Thinking of you, Jeff Hazard.
And he says this at the sermon.
Oh, yeah. Give me a shout out.
Wow.
How many people in the congregation are there when he does this?
It's about 100.
Wow. And then what do? You just give him the devil horns and say thank you?
What up? What up?
That's hilarious.
Yes, it is.
So I'm working diligently in the Studio A of WBFH last week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it was Friday night.
Okay.
Okay, we have a play that's going on, or it was going on.
These
was,
are the soon-to-be-named Pete Bauer?
Yes, okay. Soon-to-be-named the Pete Bauer Studios, March 17th, 10 a.m. It's a Saturday.
Okay.
Be there, be square.
We'll be there.
So Willy Wonka was the play that was done by the Bloomfield Broken Leg Theater Troupe, whatever it is. Okay, you know, all the people in the community
mm-hmm.
who make more money than the three of us will ever see, who want to live their fantasy being an actor or an actress, or they have a kid that they think deserves to be in the movies, mm-hmm. they do this play. Fine.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
So I'm in Studio A, and because the studios have the glass wall, people walk by. Looky-loos. I invite them in, and they're amazed at what we have at WBFH, mm-hmm. as they should be.
Right. It's gorgeous.
It's a professional radio broadcast studio. Well, I had this couple that came in, and elderly, arrogant, and they paid us a backhanded compliment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What'd they say?
Oh, what is this? Is this a real radio station, or is it a toy?
Those are fighting words.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, well, no, we're a real broadcast station. How come I haven't heard of it? I know what's going on in this community. I've never heard of WBFH. I said, we've been here for 42 years. And he got really embarrassed really quickly.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
So I was very kind and gentle with him. I says, no, we've been around, established by Pete Bowers in the school district back in 76.
Mm-hmm.
And in the planning stages before then. So I guess he was trying to, you know, cover up for his faux pas.
He could have covered up with a donation.
That's what I told him.
Yeah.
But then you meet a lot of people like that in the community who are so into other things, they don't know that we exist. So,
mm-hmm. Well, he knows now.
Yeah.
Probably went to the senior club meeting and told all his friends about WBFH.
Yeah. But I guess I was a little bit put off by his attitude.
Well, yeah, it was an opportunity for you, Ron, to educate someone on what the community has. And apparently he didn't know about the station. So now, like I said, he can tell all his senior friends that the West Bloomfield Community Schools has a...
No.
Bloomfield Hills Bloomfield Community
Schools.
Yeah,
we're not, you know, West Bloomfield's got their own little thing.
Dog and pony show.
Nah, but ours is better.
Yeah, anyway. Now he can tell his friends...
Yeah.
That there's a radio station, and it's at the high school.
Mm-hmm. A Missouri State University student who feared the let me start this again.
Please do.
I need to go to practice for these shows. A Missouri State University student who feared he swiped a potential sweetheart out of his life with a dating app mishap has emailed every Claudia on campus to find her. Hazard is looking at me quizzically. What?
What?
The freshman meant to swipe right on the woman's Tinder profile, a sign that he wanted to meet her. Instead, he swiped left, rejecting her. All he knew was her first name and that she also was a Missouri State student.
Her alleged first name.
Yeah. I got to put your mic on.
That'd be good. Then yeah, people can hear my humor.
Sorry. My knuckle slipped off the button here. Over the weekend, he began emailing the 22 Claudias on campus, offering to take the one that got away out for donuts. This is something Hazard would do.
Yeah, I'm thinking
about
it. That's
right up Hazard's alley, donuts.
Yeah, when freshman Claudia Alley got the email, she knew it was about her because it referenced a joke in her bio on the app. She told the Springfield News Leader she's agreed to the donut date.
There oh, cool. Go.
Yeah, I love that. Happy ending there.
Yeah.
A little frozen hot chocolate action. Huh?
Yes. There you go.
And speaking of donuts, a North Carolina man who made headlines when he was caught for break-ins after winning a donut eating contest has been arrested again. And this time he's accused of stealing from a donut shop. The Virginia Pilot newspaper reports 27-year-old Bradley Hardison of Elizabeth City North Carolina, was charged Thursday with stealing from a Dunkin' Donuts in November. An Elizabeth City Police Department statement says he's charged with felonies, including breaking and entering, and larceny. It wasn't clear if he helped himself to any donuts. The Virginia Pilot reported that in 2014, Hardison won a donut-eating contest put on by Elizabeth City Police while he was wanted on suspicion of several other break-ins. Investigators say they arrested Hardison after his win prompted further scrutiny, and he was convicted, according to the paper.
Isn't that interesting?
It's funny when I stop like that. I'm expecting feedback.
I had to burp. You were
deep in. Hazard was trolling for chicks.
I had to burp.
I have nothing on my screen here. Look at that. It's blank.
It's funny. All right, I think it's time for this.
What's that, Ron?
Let's see if it works. Yeah, here we go. What time is it, everybody?
Yeah. It's time for This Day in Rock History with Chuck Riffenberg. What happened, Uncle Chuck?
She said it with a laugh.
I love that.
Yeah, me too. Well, back in 1965, Ron the Who made their first appearance on UK TV. They were on a show called Ready, Steady, Go. To project the desired image, the hand-picked audience consisted of only teens dressed in the current mod fashion. On this date in 2000, saxophonist and bandleader Thomas Beans Bowles died of prostate cancer. At the age of 73, he played on many Motown sessions, including Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, Martha and the Vandellas' Heatwave, The Supremes' Baby Love, and wrote the melody on Stevie Wonder's Fingertips Part 2. And finally, Ron, on this date in 2008, Madonna topped the list for the richest female musician, according to Forbes.com. Its first ever list focusing on women in the music industry estimated the 49-year-old banked $72 million between June of 2006 and June of 2007. Madonna earned much of that from her Confessions tour, the highest grossing tour for a female artist, earning $260 million worldwide.
See, we need to do something like that. The three of us need to go on tour, do stadium shows.
Barbara Streisand came in second with $60 million, followed by Celine Dion with $45 million, mainly from her recent concerts at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. And here's one from Madonna on Motor City Static.
Madonna on Motor City Static, Ray of Light there. I don't think we've ever played a Madonna song.
I don't think we ever have either on our
show. It's a first here.
Yeah, love Hazard that. Was surprised that I owned this CD.
Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network, 88.1 WBFH and 89.5 WAHS. Ron, Chuck, and Hazard all over the place on the Biff Radio app, enjoying it. We love doing radio on a Sunday night. Yeah, the Grammys are on, but we're a heck of a lot more interesting and more fun.
I see they're coming from New York this year, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Usually, aren't they at the Staples Center out in L.A.?
Usually. Every once in a while, they like to get back to New York.
Oh, okay.
You know, they brought the Tonight Show back from L.A. to New York about, what, 3 or 4 years ago, whatever, 2 years ago. So they like to, you know, bring New York back.
I caught a little of Saturday Night Live last night.
I'm sorry. You couldn't sleep?
Something like that. And Will Ferrell was the host.
Yeah, he had to sneak into Chicago to get the cheerleader outfit that he used for a sketch with, I think, Sherry O'Terry came back. They did the cheerleader sketch last night.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's what I read in the the gossip page. But I didn't see the episode last night, so did any comment on it?
They said it was number 4 for him hosting that. I can't believe that.
Yeah, it could be.
4 times?
Could be.
But he did I just saw one piece, and it was him doing his George W.
Okay.
So, interesting.
Not particularly a Will Ferrell fan. I think he's pretty much jumped the shark years ago. I don't get it. But, you know, to each his own.
Yep.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes, Ron.
Florida ranks dead last when it comes to rating the best states in the nation.
Really?
Michigan is number 1.
Stop it.
I'm not lying. I'm not lying.
Michigan over Florida?
Yeah, there's a website called Thrillist.com, or The Thrillist, yeah. And this particular article came out of the Miami Herald, and it was written by Howard Cohen. So he says, let that sink in for a while. Michigan, the state that gave us the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent, and Kid Rock, and then he parenthetically says the poor man's Ted Nugent, is 49 states better than Florida. Thrillist's definitive and final ranking of all 50 states lists rank the states based on everything, specifically the state's contributions to America, like inventions, food and drink, somewhat productive, famous people, he does parenthetically too, and unique physical beauty, among other things. Florida, the state that gave the nation a mathematics lesson in the 2000 presidential election, the state that has the best subs in the nation, and the state that gave us the Florida Man Twitter feed, is the worst. So, you know. What does it say here? Thrillist wrote, when putting together a list such as this, there can be some temptation to defy popular expectations and go against the grain. However, Florida's awfulness resume is so staggeringly impressive that it couldn't go any other way. By contrast, Michigan, Thrillist rhapsodizes, has more coastline than any other state, or than any state other than Alaska.
Really?
Alaska is number 16, touted for rogue bears, and it's salmon. And let's see, down at the bottom with Florida, Delaware, Ohio, Arizona, Utah, and Mississippi. And then just under Michigan are the best of the best, Maine, Kentucky, Wisconsin, and Louisiana. I thought that would be.
Maine?
Maine.
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Kentucky. Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Those are the top states to be in. Under
snow,
Michigan.
Snow, snow, below sea level.
I know it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
But it's fun.
Yes, it is.
It's fun. Okay, Motor City Static, the rest of our features are coming up. Big Words with Ron here.
Oh, and there are some doozies.
We're about 12 minutes away from that. And last week I did 3 out of 4.
Yes, you did.
The week before that I went down slugging for nothing.
And I must say, your first word this week on Big Words with Ron, the phonetic pronunciation makes me laugh.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've been practicing. I think I've got it.
Stick around for that. Looking forward to that. Motor City Static, as I said, has a website, motorcitystatic.com. Our podcast of this here broadcast will be posted after we're finished, after we leave the room. After we lock everything up and turn off the transmitter.
What's in your merce, Hazard?
His merce.
He's got his merce out here.
My merce carries all kinds of fabulous stuff. Actually, it's got my, I put that thing in there, but extra pair of glasses.
And, you should fill that luggage tag out, so if you ever lose your merce, people know who to return it to. You got a little phone charger in there.
Yeah, a little phone charger.
Your extra pair of glasses.
Got some earbuds.
He's got his Geritol.
Do you got any like makeup products in there? Any chapstick or?
I do have some.
Maybe some
aspirin, that kind of thing.
Aspirin. See, it is a merce.
Got a bag in there full of that.
You how about carry
got
things
a pen
like
in
that?
There?
Yeah.
How about the old Monty Hall? Let's make a deal.
I'll give you $100 if you got nail clippers. You got any nail clippers? $50 if you got a book of matches.
See if you carried your keys and your merce. You got $100.
Yeah.
Wow.
Rocking and rolling.
All right. We have music?
I do, Ron. We mentioned this song earlier in the This Day in Rock or This Day in Music. This is The Jam doing their version of Heat Wave on Motor City Static.
Love it. The Jam, Heat Wave on Motor City Static. Speaking of Heat Wave, January thaw this past week.
Yeah, it was, what do they call that? Winterfest in downtown Detroit. Temps in the 50s.
It's like a swim fest, actually.
Had to be the warmest weather ever for the auto show.
Yeah.
Usually the weather is horrible for the auto show. And I couldn't believe it. When I went down there, I thought, oh, it's not going to be crowded at all because it's a beautiful day out. It's a Sunday afternoon. People are going to be out enjoying the outdoors, getting some vitamin D from the sun. Mm-hmm. The place was packed.
Well, you know, part of it is the economy. It's on its way back. People are out there. They have a little disposable spending money. The bonuses are coming out. They've announced that some of the automakers are getting $2,000, $3,000 bonus checks.
Yeah.
You know, with the tax cuts from the Trump administration, all of your big companies are starting to give $1,000 bonuses. They're starting to raise the minimum wage. So it only makes sense that these people are, you know, out there.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for me.
Well, just wait a couple months.
Rich get richer, the poor get the picture.
Well, interesting that you brought that up, because now with all of this activity downtown Detroit, and you know what, Dan Gilbert and the Illiches and all the businesses are down there, Motown nightlife is coming back.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of stuff going on down there.
Yeah, and particularly nightclubs.
I've heard there's some.
Yeah. Bars, nightclubs. I'm reading an article here from the French Foreign Press. And they said, and even Aretha Franklin, the queen of soul herself, wants a piece of the action unfolding from Corktown behind the city's historic train depot.
Wow.
Pop-up restaurants, watering holes, complete with music venues. You know, the little nightclubs where you would go and see people play.
$15 to park.
Well, I know that.
Won't be getting anything from me.
The Grasshopper Underground, which is owned by Troy Ramroop, it's an electro music club. He says that Detroit is on a boom right now. He said that not long ago, clubbers in Michigan had to go to Chicago or New York to party all night.
Mm-hmm.
But you can drive 20 minutes and do it downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So good for him. Dennis Coffey, he's one of the Funk Brothers.
Yeah.
Okay. I know him. I mean, I'm not close friends with him, but I've rubbed elbows with him. He plays downtown.
Get him a bell. Hazard, good job.
He plays downtown there. He invited me down to come and see him.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. We should do that when the weather gets warm.
You're driving.
I'll be more than happy to.
Rusty Mustang?
What's that?
Rusty Mustang?
Yeah, we'll go on the Rusty Mustang.
The Hoopty?
Yeah. Johnny Jump Up in the Rusty Mustang. It's a children's book.
Yeah. Hey, you might have something
there. Yeah, I'm going to have to talk to my people, see if
anyway, the bad news with regard to the weather is we're going back to normal. So today we had a nice 40-degree day.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had the front door open on the mansion because the sun is at that angle
well,
now.
Well, that's because it was warmer outside than it is inside.
Yeah. So I let the sun come in and warm up the guest room a little bit.
All right. That's
but
nice.
The rest of the week we're expecting highs in the mid to upper 20s.
Ooh.
Wednesday, we're expecting rain and snow, 38. So
back to normal.
Yeah, it's back to normal. And then pitchers and catchers, I guess, are a second week in February, right?
Yeah.
So we're getting there. Gardenhire made his press appearance today.
I saw that.
So he's got some fresh ideas he wants to bring up.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, good stuff. There's always the promise of spring. Mm-hmm. You know?
I don't remember if I told this story on the air or not. I don't know if I should, but I'm going to. Remember the other day? I know I told you guys off the air. I was at White Castle very late at night / early in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And a guy approached me. It was freezing cold outside. Asked if I could. He said he needed $14 more to get money for a motel. Remember
right.
I told you this story?
Yeah, she told me that story.
And I gave him some of the money. More than I would have blown him off. Because I've done that before and gotten robbed, but
yeah.
So I was like, I'm gonna pull a Hazard here. I'm gonna see the good in the guy, and I'm gonna give him some of the money to get the motel room for him and his girlfriend. And then he asked me for a ride down to the motel.
Okay,
which I'm like, well, you don't even have all the money. What do you want to go down there for? But I just said, no, buddy, sorry, I only got one seat in my van, which wasn't a total lie. You've got
right.
two, but there was stuff on it. So then last week after the show, I leave. I go to the Kroger. Who's standing outside looking for money again?
Same guy.
Oh. This time he wanted money for bus fare. I'm like, dude, if you'd have been walking all the time you've been standing out here, you'd be halfway to where you wanted to go by now. And don't give me any malarkey about not being able to walk, because I know he walked a half mile from the White Castle down to the Kroger. Right?
Right. All right, Motor City Static back after these. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. The show's half over.
Sound check.
And January is over this week.
Yeah.
Man.
Went by pretty quick, huh?
My head's spinning. I can't believe it.
For any of my colleagues on the board of directors for the Motor City Aquarium Society, our board meeting is this Wednesday, which is actually the last Wednesday of the month, but it is the last Wednesday before the second Thursday.
You lost me.
Well, our board of directors meetings always happen on the Wednesday before the a week before the general meeting.
Okay.
But because the way the calendar falls, the board meeting for February is actually in January.
Okay.
Because Thursday is the 1st of February. Big birthday month in my family for February birthdays.
A lot of February birthdays in my family, too.
Yeah.
My grandmother was born in February. My mother was born in February. My uncles were born in February.
Wow.
Aquarians.
Yeah.
Nice people. Aquarians are nice.
Good people.
They are good people.
My sister was born in February.
Mm-hmm.
My niece was born in February. And my godson was born in February. Coincidentally, it's mother, daughter, grandson.
Wow.
All born within like a few days of each other, too, in February.
Crazy. And I have three siblings that were born in July.
Wow. You only have three siblings.
I've got
four siblings.
Four siblings, yeah.
Three of them were born in July, though.
Yeah. The other one was born in August.
Wow. Are you counting me as one of your siblings?
No, no, no. No.
Brother Jeff.
Because I am a July date also.
Wow.
Yeah.
You a Leo?
Cancer.
Cancer.
Cancer kids.
All right.
Cancer.
No wonder you're always crabby.
This song always makes me happy. Theme, I should say. Welcome to Metro Detroit's beloved quiz program that not only helps to build your vocabulary, but puts our beloved Uncle Ron in his place. It's time for Big Words with Ron on the Biff Radio Network. As you know, Uncle Ron tends to espouse his opinions with big $5 words that often leaves Chuck and Hazard addled, befuddled, and perplexed. This time, the table is turned to see how Uncle Ron reacts. Can he bluff? Can he guess? Can he reckon his way to the words we throw at him? You decide on Big Words with Ron. Now, from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious confines of a studio near the Grand Trunk Western, here's your host, Chuck Rivenberg.
Ron, I noticed that there's a lot more lights along the...
Along the what?
Along the train tracks now, along, you know, when you cross over...
Yeah.
Looking down toward a...
You know, looking down towards it, you know.
Yeah, looking down the tracks.
Yeah, that thing there.
A lot more light, tower lights and whatnot.
If you would have paid attention in previous programs, well, I would have told you
they upgraded stuff. Yeah, and
last summer, yes.
Really, really coming around.
Yeah, August, my friend. It was done in August.
Hazard wearing the construction worker yellow.
My God, the fluorescent yellow.
I'd like to say... Late night neon jogger outfit.
Yeah. Late night dog walker.
Hey.
All right, let's play Big Words with Ron.
Ron, are you ready?
No, I'm never ready. And this week I feel...
Plus, Chuck, did you see how many words I think?
There's like a bunch of them. We're going to have fun, too.
Yeah.
There's like five. All right, Ron.
Okay, here we go. The object of the game is not to humiliate the host.
No.
There's one in there.
But to educate our listeners.
Yes,
there's one
absolutely.
In there. There's a gimme to you.
One of them's a gimme.
Yeah. Well, that's what you said about Copper Bottom last week.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a gimme. He's going to get... What? You should have got that one.
Is there?
Did we get any email from Ruth, by the way? Oh, we got texts.
Text, yes.
Yeah, we had quite the texting conversations the four of us did this week. I was making up my own fake news.
Yeah, you were.
It was quite entertaining.
Doing a fine job. That was good news.
Thank you. All right, here we go. Your first word, Ron, is a noun.
Okay, that is, there we go. You person, have, place, or thing.
You have one chance at the definition.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Its earliest documented use was in 1846. It is from the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And, Ron, your word is euhemerism. Euhemerism.
Euhemerism? What is
euhemerism?
Sounds like something that you go to the doctor for.
It sure does, doesn't it?
My euhemerism has been acting up, and I just can't get out of the darn easy chair.
It's because you have a euhemerism.
Euhemerism. How do you spell that?
And remember, it's a person, place, or thing.
Right.
E-U-H-E.
Whoa, whoa. E-U-H-E.
E-M.
M.
E.
E.
Rism.
R-I-S-M.
Yes.
Euhemerism. Euhemerism.
Euhemerism.
Oh, my gosh.
Emphasis on the he. Euhemerism.
So the syllable, the second syllable is the accent.
Correct.
Euhemerism. Oh, I have no idea, my friend. None whatsoever.
Usually you say try to break it down, but you got nothing, huh?
I can't. An ism is a behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And heme. It's like a theme.
Hemerism. It's not heme. It's hemer.
I know. Hemer. Hemer. Mm-hmm. Humor. Hemer. I'm going to need a sentence on this one.
I suspect that the scholarly assumption that somewhere beneath the legend there must lurk a real historical founder is a modern case of euhemerism.
Nothing. I get nothing.
That was a good read.
Yeah, it was. Very good read. Sentence again?
Sure. I suspect that the scholarly assumption that somewhere beneath the legend there must lurk a real historical founder is a modern key case of euhemerism.
You mean like the legend of Davy Crockett?
Mm-hmm.
Legend of the Lone Ranger?
Mm-hmm.
That's euhemerism?
Mm-hmm.
That's humanizing a fictional character.
You got it. The idea that gods are based on historical heroes whose stories became exaggerated in retelling. Well, you didn't really get it, but I'm going to give it to you.
No, I got it.
Yeah. Ruth will be the deciding factor on that. We look forward to her.
Okay, so that is response. Basically gods are based on what?
Jeez, I put that one aside already. The idea that gods are based on historical heroes whose stories became exaggerated in retelling.
Okay.
So if we were to talk about Hazard, with God Hazard, man, he really must have some sort of account over at Tim Hortons because he's buying 8 or 9 frozen hot chocolates a week for the young ladies he meets on the dating apps. That would be euhemerism.
Okay.
Your next word, Ron,
yep,
is an adjective. Mm. Or it could be a noun. Its earliest documented use was in 1602, and it is also from the Greek. I should have practiced this one as well. This word, Ron, is hymeneal.
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 H
Y
M
M E N
E N
E A L. Hymeneal.
Okay. Holy cow. I don't know where to begin on this one.
Break it down, Ron.
Sentence.
Sure, this is starting to make some things make sense here when I read the meaning. Or the etymology, actually. There must be no love interest in the story. The business in hand is to bring a criminal to the bar of justice, not to bring a lovelorn couple to the hymeneal altar.
Read that again.
Oh, God. There must be no love interest in the story. The business in hand is to bring a criminal to the bar of justice, not to bring a lovelorn couple to the hymeneal altar. That from 20 Rules for Writing Detective Stories, published in the American magazine, September 1928.
Well, it has to do with the emotions.
Mm-hmm. There's actually another sentence if you'd want it.
Yeah, I'll take the other sentence too, please.
In those uncivilized days, the Marriage Act had not been passed, and there was no convenient hymeneal registrar in England to change a vagabond runaway couple into a respectable man and wife at a moment's notice.
Hmm. Does it have to do with purity? Regaining virtue?
No.
But it is a romantic word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Romance? I have no idea how to get there from here.
It's because you can't get there from here.
So I won't. I'll throw it in on this one.
No. You're going to throw it in?
Yeah, throw it in.
As an adjective, Ron, it means relating to a wedding or marriage.
All right.
As a noun, it means a wedding song or poem.
Oh.
So you are one and one.
Wow.
Your next word, Ron. You got a short script on this one. I'm going to have to do what I can here.
Okay.
We don't know when its earliest use was. We do, however, know that it is a noun.
Mm-hmm.
And, Ron, your word is stent.
Stent, S-T-E-N-T?
Yes.
Well, do you mean like a medical stent?
Yeah, we don't even have a sentence for this.
Yeah, it's just it's something that opens up a clogged artery. It's a stent.
Something? Something? I'm not going to give it to you. It's something.
It's an item.
Nope.
It's an invention.
Nope.
It's a mesh.
There is some mesh involvement, yes.
Yeah, it is.
It's a mesh what?
Support.
Nope.
Come on.
Nope.
It's a stent.
Yep. But it's not a something.
Isn't it a sleeve?
Nope.
It's a mesh sleeve that's put in an artery to open it up?
Nope.
Something that supports? Now I'm just guessing here. I mean, my brother's got 5 of them.
Gerald?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't have somethings.
What could you... Give me a sentence then.
We don't have one.
All right.
One up, Chuck. You can do that.
Make one
Ron,
up.
Ron, yeah. Your brother Gerald has 5 stents.
Yeah. Well, they're medical devices that are used to open up the arteries.
No.
What do you mean? What are you looking for?
I'm
you
looking
can give
for
it to him on that.
No. It's not a something, Hazard.
God, what? It's a medical device.
Well, it's not a device. It's
a what?
It's a stent.
Okay, I'll give you a clue.
All right, what word are you looking for?
The mass transit in London is often referred to as this.
Oh, it's a tube. Come on.
It's a good hint. Ron, your next word.
Yeah.
That was fun.
By the way, I was just joking. My brother does not have 5 stents.
Okay. We don't want him to have stents.
No.
No. Earliest documented use is 1525. It is a noun.
All right.
And it is probably from the Greek, because all these words have been from the Greek today.
It's all Greek to you.
And this word, Ron, yeah. is... Roland.
Roland?
Roland.
Oh, I know exactly what this is. It is a keyboard.
Nope. It's not an amplifier either.
Oh, man. Roland.
Roland, Roland, Roland.
No. R-O-L-A-N-D, right?
R-O-L-A-N-D.
How about a sentence?
My little lord, who was surrounded by savage women, poor thing, had an immense satisfaction of giving a Roland... for an Oliver to an especially obnoxious young twit.
A Roland?
Roland.
To an obnoxious twit.
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that has to do with striking someone?
Nope.
No? Dirty looks?
Nope.
When you give someone a Roland,
mm-hmm.
it's not like giving someone a Rolex, because that's very expensive.
Uh-uh.
A Roland. It's also a man's name, isn't it? R-O-L-A-N-D.
Yeah, I went to... There was a dude in one of my German classes.
Roland.
Wayne State, whose name was Roland.
And did he behave as this word would suggest?
He had his moments of behaving like this, yes.
So it has to be a temper tantrum, little behavioral thing?
No, not necessarily.
So you give someone a Roland... I don't know.
Let's see. Ruth, our dear friend and colleague in Dayton, Ohio, would be known as your Roland.
Someone who tweaks me.
No.
Puts me down.
No.
Humiliates me.
No.
Makes fun of me.
No. Actually, she's not really your Roland.
No, she wouldn't be.
No, because she's, no.
All right, let's go. I need the definition.
The definition is someone who is an equal match for another. Typically used in the expression to give a Roland for an Oliver, meaning to give as good as one gets.
Oh, okay.
Tit for tat.
Well, Ruth is smarter than me, so
she, right, that's what I'm saying.
She can't be.
She can't be your Roland.
No.
No.
Because she knows so much more than I.
Mm-hmm.
That's, all right.
That was bad on my part.
That's okay.
At least we corrected it.
And the final word?
Oh, no. Is this the last one, Hazard? Five right here? Yeah. All right. Here we go. Earliest documented use. Boy, we got a novel on this one. 1598. It's an adjective.
I once bought a pair of Levi's for $15.98.
That's a long time ago. Or secondhand. One of the two. It is from Roman. From the Roman.
Ah, the Romans.
Your word, Ron. Your final word today is Fabian.
Oh, I know what Fabian is. Fabian is a singer from the 60s.
Nope. It might have been. He is. He was.
All right. How about a sentence?
Last name of one of my elementary school classmates as well.
Fabian. Sentence. Sentence for Fabian.
Oh, I almost read you the definition.
Sentence for Fabian, please.
But how could I confront Charlie with a letter which I had ferreted out from among his not-too-clean underwear? So instead, I adopted a Fabian policy of watchful waiting.
Fabian, like fable?
Nope.
Patience?
Nope.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Virtuous?
Nope.
I have no idea.
No? You throwing it in?
I'm throwing it
in. Making you, what, 2 for 5?
Yep.
You sure?
Yeah. No.
I think, Ron, that you might be Fabian.
Yeah.
At times.
Oh, yeah.
Fabian?
You might be Fabian at times.
I mean, like, wait and see? Patient?
No.
Benevolent?
No.
Handsome?
No.
Smart?
No.
See? Going nowhere.
You done?
Done.
Avoiding direct confrontation. Cautious delaying.
Oh.
Fabian.
Oh, that would be me.
Yeah?
That would be me.
Ron's secret word is Fabian.
Oh, man. And that's how we play Big Words with Ron. Say, humorism, the exaggerated storytelling based on fact, right?
Yes, sir.
Hymeneal, relating to weddings.
Correct.
Stent is the tube.
Inserted to keep something open.
Yeah. Roland is an equal match for another.
Correct.
Of which I have none. Because you guys are all smarter than me.
Well, you might have them out in the world, but not in the studio.
No, I'm not that bright. And then the final word, Fabian, meaning avoiding confrontation.
Yes.
All right, those are your big words. And that's Jim Morris Jr. with our theme here on Big Words with Ron. Ron, Chuck, and Hazard. Not particularly a good outing for me.
No,
that's good words like nonetheless.
Educating the people.
That's right.
Use them in a sentence tomorrow around the water cooler.
No, I'm going to probably be Fabian about that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be humiliated. All right. Music time here in Motor City Static.
Sure. We mentioned this group in the This Day in Rock or This Day in Music a little while ago. This is The Who on Motor City Static.
What were you doing in 1975? The Who by Numbers is the album, the group The Who. The song is Slip Kid here on Motor City Static with Ron, Chuck, and Hazard, wasting away your quality time on a Sunday night here in the Motor City and all over Macomb County, Oakland County, and the world. Dave Dyke is listening to us in Shanghai, China. And some other people are listening to us.
You know, the Chinese food in China is not like the Chinese food here.
No, the Chinese food here is American food.
Yeah.
You order what we have here in China, they'll look at you like, what?
What?
Almond boneless, what?
Really?
You didn't know that, Hazard? You thought you could go to...
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I know.
You could go to...
I'd be interested, though,
Beijing and get General Chow's chicken?
General So's chicken.
Whatever.
I get sesame seed chicken.
Yeah, they'd laugh at you for that, too. I'd like to see Hazard in China, actually.
Oh, he'd be lost. And all the Chinese would stare at him.
How about a little lo mein?
One of my friends one time, this was years and years ago, my buddy John, he went to Japan with his friend because his friend's parents were working in Japan for work and for one of the automotive companies. And my friend John wanted to give his buddy some time alone with his parents. So he decided he'd go out exploring on his own. Jumped on the bullet train and fell asleep. He didn't know where he ended up, but there was a nice Japanese... John was wearing his... John, if you're listening, I hope I'm telling this story correct. I think I'm pretty accurate, though. John was wearing a Tiger jersey at the time.
Detroit Tigers?
Yeah.
Wow.
So this Japanese gentleman spoke a little bit of English and was able to get John headed back to where he needed to be. Wow. Because he recognized John's Tiger jersey. All the way over in Japan.
That's funny.
Well, you know what? They
have John listens, by the way.
Hi, John.
They have a culture of politeness over in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
They're kind of like Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, my buddy was telling me that if...
Talking to the mic, Hazard.
Oh, yeah.
Pretend you're looking at your dating app right here.
Oh, right there. There it is.
Right there.
I see it.
All right, there you go.
Whoa, hey.
Dating app is right there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Can I press the button?
Sure, press the button. Swipe away.
Boy. Oh, what's just going on?
Just keep talking to it, though. Talk to the dating app, Hazard.
Let's go.
No, anyways, he was saying about like how if you were sitting on a train or something, you kind of keep your shoes, you kind of keep your feet flat or something, so you don't show the back of your shoes to anybody.
Yeah.
Or the bottom of your shoes.
There's an interesting article on Japanese etiquette. You do not eat while walking in the street. If the cross don't cross sign says don't cross,
you don't cross.
You don't cross. Even if there's no traffic or anybody around, you stay there.
Huh.
Yeah. And you never ever, when you're enjoying a Japanese meal and they give you chopsticks or whatever, you never ever ever rub them together.
No?
No, because that's insulting to the host.
Really?
People rub them together because they're assuming that they're splinters.
Oh, okay.
You know, so you're insulting the host. What do you mean? I've got cheap chopsticks or whatever? Right.
You know, there's a difference between Japanese chopsticks and Chinese chopsticks, too.
There is?
I think so.
All right.
I don't think I'm making that up. I think I know that from somewhere.
Okay.
Really?
Hazard a Guess is coming up a few scant seconds from now. This is Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. And just like that, we're in our last segment here at Motor City Static on Biff Radio Network. Yeah, we always have fun.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Absolutely.
I got enough songs picked out here for another 3 hours.
Well, just put a bookmark in them. We'll come back later and play some more of that.
Hazard's got to take his whatever bag this is back to the library and get new stuff. You know he does a show on this station?
Yes, he does, on this network.
Yeah.
Want to say hi to...
Are we going
to
talk about it? Give him a little promo, maybe?
No, listen, okay? I don't have time for that. I've got a show to do.
Friday nights, right? Or is it Saturday nights?
Saturday nights, 10 o'clock.
Saturday nights, 10 o'clock till when, Hazard?
Midnight.
10 o'clock till midnight, called Echoes of the Night.
Right after Jim's Jams.
Yeah, he plays all that music that you want to hear on a Saturday night, whatever you're doing.
Yeah, a lot of people do like his show.
Yeah, I've heard. He's a regular.
Fun.
Yeah.
But you know something, Chuck?
What's that?
I've actually peeked into the studio door when he's doing his show.
Is he trolling?
No.
Really?
No. You know why? I asked him once. I said,
why aren't you trolling?
Hazard, why aren't you?
Well, the show's too important. I got things to do here.
Actually, I'm cleaning the studio.
It's not like your show, Ron, where, you know, you just babble on about things that really don't concern me. So.
He didn't say that.
Okay, he didn't.
But Tom, I'm cleaning the studio normally.
He's always lecturing me on the studio.
you know what you ought to do, Ron, is you ought to blow out this wall and make things a little bigger. Get me some more space in here.
And for this thing right here, you need a gallon of water and a quarter cup of bleach, and you just soak that a little bit, and then the stains will come right out.
And these big-time wrestling chairs, they need to go. Can't we get something with a little bit of padding?
I want to hear something scandalous. I was watching some no-name wrestling last night.
Uh-huh.
And I know, I see it right there. There's the app. Yep. Okay, wait, let me swipe left. What do you think about Big Daddy? So?
I can make that happen.
Pile up, you know what I'm saying?
I know people. I really can.
That did that.
I can get you hooked up. You'd probably have to be the guy that gets beat up a few times.
Answered in a unitard.
And sometimes those guys take it pretty seriously.
Oh, it'd be fun though, man. It'd be a blast.
It'd be fun until the next morning when you're all sore. My back.
Why can't I walk?
And toss you over the top rope and Hazard be like, what? But if you want to do that, I've got connections. I can make that happen for you.
Yeah, Ron, here's the keys. I need to get to the hospital.
I'm going
to
deliver the people's elbow.
Want to say hi to some listeners listening in on the Biff Radio app.
Cindy, in Beijing?
No, they're in Florida.
Okay.
Around the Tampa-St. Pete area. Cindy Dowell and her granddaughter, Abby.
No matter what Ron's report was earlier, Florida is still desirable. A lot of people vacation there. Snowbirds.
A lot of weird people in Florida. That's why it has its own tag.
I've never been to Florida.
Never?
Never.
You want to go?
Nope.
Okay. You've never been to Florida?
No. There are a lot of tropical fish farms down there, though.
Road trip to Florida. Let's go. Well,
I know.
Spring break. Come on.
Yeah.
No, can't do it.
You just don't want to, or you?
I won't have any vacation time, and I've got no one to
call
take
in
care
sick.
Of my dogs.
Yeah.
Bring the dogs.
Let's go.
Put them up on the roof of the car.
We can be like down Romney there in 24 did. Hours.
No, Hazard, I'm not going to Florida.
All right, so hi to Cindy and Abby. Thank you for listening.
Furthest south I'm going is Taylor.
That's, well, you know, it's got its own tag, too.
Well, maybe, I like Downriver. Maybe Woodhaven. I like down in Woodhaven. I like it in Wyandotte. Is that Downriver?
That's, yeah.
That's south, well, right?
Can I tell you what Chemical Valley. He could go to the reptile show,
mm-hmm.
let everything loose. That way he could have, what do they call it? Alligator Alley?
Mm-hmm.
You know, create his own Florida. I'm trying here. Work with me.
There's no alligators at the reptile show, has
it? Oh, all right. Whatever. I'm
trying. I did see one for sale on one of the forums the other day, though. 3.5 foot long. $200. It was a dwarf alligator of some sort.
A dwarf alligator.
I actually thought about it for a minute. Where could I keep that?
Use it as a paperweight or something. I don't know.
How could you have something
that small?
No, from, you know, the size. It was probably, you know, like 6 inches to a foot long when this person acquired it.
Uh-huh.
And now it's 3.5 feet long. And
the heck would you keep them in?
That's what I was trying to figure out. I couldn't figure that out.
Bathtub, but then they could move around.
Right. You need some room for the alligator. You need to have something, you know, you could walk around, get out on land, and have something to sit in. And did you see that story when it got so cold down in Florida last week where when things were icing over, the alligators were surviving by sticking their snouts out of the water?
Yep. Saw that.
Fascinating.
Yep.
That's why they've been around for so long. They're smart.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought about alligator farming.
Alligator farming?
Yeah.
There's business in that, yeah. Remember when we were all unemployed, we were looking at alternative means for income, and that did come up, alligator farming.
It still won't make her smile, but Grumpy Cat has won some scratch. A California jury gave the furry frown queen more than $700,000 this past week in a federal lawsuit over the use of her identity. According to the document obtained by the Washington Post, owner Tabitha Bundenson of Morristown, Arizona, won the lawsuit first filed 3 years ago against the Grenade Beverage Company. She signed on for the cat to endorse a Grumpy Cat Grumpachino, but the company subsequently used the cat's image to help sell other products, which an 8-person jury on Monday found was unauthorized. Grumpy Cat, whose dwarfism and underbite give her the permanent frown she's famous for, became an online phenomenon-turned-merchandising machine after Bundenson first posted pictures of her in 2012. So, you win one for the cat.
All right.
All right.
It's always good for the cats to win.
And brawls have broken out in French supermarkets as shoppers scramble to get their hands on discounted pots of chocolate and hazelnut spread. Chaotic scenes were filmed in several supermarkets across the country operated by the Intermarché chain, which offered massive discounts on pots of Nutella. Have you ever had that stuff?
Nutella's all right.
The promotion launched on Thursday reduced the price of more than a million pots from $5.95 to $1.75. In one video posted on Twitter, customers are seen shoving each other and shouting as they try to get as many pots as possible. According to Le Parisien newspaper, shoppers started to fight in the northern town of Ostercourt, prompting police to step in. So people are going nuts and crazy for stuff.
I guess.
That Nutella.
I don't like it. I've had it. I've tried it. I've had people tell me how great it is. I'd rather just have peanut butter.
All right. Understood. Live and direct from the Rumpus Room at La Casa de Hazard, it's time for us to gather around the radio and play another installment of Metro Detroit's favorite radio contest, Hazard a Guess. Yes, kiddies, Uncle Ron has officially depleted the topic bin tonight, and yet we still have a half hour of expensive and valuable broadcast airtime left. So we present a surefire network time killer, one that pits the incredible knowledge of our very own handsome, suave, slick, and debonair lady killer, Mr. Johnny Jump Up.
Jeffrey. Johnny Jump Up and the Rusty Mustang.
The coming. Earl of Spiffy and Exchequer of Bling against the brain power of our bright, attractive, erudite, and deeply learned Chuck Riffenberg.
That's me.
Gather on the radio, my friends. If you are not too careful, you might learn something.
Hey, Jerry Pohl commented on a post that I'm tagged in.
You are?
He did.
What did he say? Hi, Jerry Pohl.
Let me see. He's a listener?
Yeah.
He said, I thought it was a holler. Because you said, our little dog and pony show, the Biff Radio Network, blah, blah, blah. It's a hoot. He said, I thought it was a holler.
Ha, ha, ha. He's got a dry sense of humor.
I like it.
Hazard.
Yo.
Are you ready to...
Oh, let me get my scorecard ready. Where's that pad of paper?
Hazard, I guess.
Hazard.
I don't know.
I need my bell.
Give him the bell. You give me a pencil while you're at it, too, Hazard. I'll put you to work around here.
Let's see. Is this thing tuned up? Is it tuned?
Oh, sounds good.
Oh, Johnny Jump Up.
Haven't lost a touch. All right, we're not going to be here next Sunday.
No, we're not.
Because it is Super Bowl Sunday.
Big game Sunday.
Yeah, we can't say Super Bowl, but I don't care. It's the big game. Hazard and I will be scarfing down food, watching the Eagles, or the Eagles, mm-hmm. take on the Patriots.
I'll be eating bread pizza.
All right.
It's good.
So I figured, at the suggestion of Uncle Chuck, we do a Super Bowl theme for Hazard and Guess.
Oh, there you go.
That was my idea. That's why right. I am the producer.
You are too. All right, question number one here.
Hazard?
Hazard, yeah. Tom Brady, Joe Montana, and Terry Bradshaw have done this four times over their careers. What did they do? Tom Brady, Joe Montana, and Terry Bradshaw have done this four times over their careers. What, Hazard, did they do?
Well, I'm a football insider, so I happen to know this answer.
Yeah.
They accidentally put pain heat medication.
Oh, boy.
Got out of their fingers and it messed up their, you know.
Their
yeah. Yeah. Kind of heated things up down below for them.
Hey.
No, they got named starting quarterback for
they
Super Bowl.
They got named starting quarterback.
Yeah.
They got named.
They got named. Well, they were named the starting quarterback for four Super Bowls.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Tom Brady, Joe Montana, and Terry Bradshaw
have won four Super Bowls.
Have done this four times over their careers. What did they do?
They won four Super Bowls.
Won four Super Bowls.
I'm going with Hazard. Won four Super Bowls.
That is correct. They are the only quarterbacks to win four Super Bowls. Now, interestingly enough, Brady has 5 wins. And if he wins next Sunday night, that'll make him 6.
He's superhuman.
Yeah, he really is.
You know, he really is. So if you look at this, Brady led the Pats to wins in Super Bowls 36, 38, 39, 10 years later in 49, and then 2 years later in 51. So that's 5 wins, okay? Mm-hmm. Joe Montana won Super Bowl 16, which was where? Detroit,
yeah. Against the Bengals.
That's right. And then he won 19, 23, and 24.
At the Silverdome.
Yeah. And then Bradshaw won Super Bowl 9, 10, 13, and 14. So there you have it. Mm.
You know, one of the things they had at the auto show today was a booth of like memorabilia, sports memorabilia.
Yeah.
I did stop and look at that because there's nobody there really. And one of the things they had for sale was Pontiac Silverdome seat backs.
Yeah. Yeah.
$30. You can have a Pontiac Silverdome seat back.
I'll pass.
Yeah, me too. I did buy, because I have a little collection, I guess you'd call it, of Corvette memorabilia. Mm-hmm.
You like vets.
I love Corvettes. I love to look at them. I've always liked them.
Did you ever shop at Corvettes?
I did. Back when I was a kid, they used to have a pet store, and they had an alligator in there once, matter of fact.
They had a pet inside there?
Yeah, a pet store in there. Yep. Different spelling.
Question number two.
Mm-hmm.
The Cleveland Browns, the Houston Texans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Detroit Lions all have something in common. Hazard, what is it?
Give me those teams again. Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Cleveland Browns, the Houston Texans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Detroit Lions. They all have something in common. What is it? He's thinking.
I can smell the smoke.
They've all had Wayne Fonts as a coach.
I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
You are correct, sir.
Best coach in Lions history.
Are you serious?
Wayne Fontes took him to the Super Bowl. To the game before the Super Bowl in 91.
Okay. Wayne Fontes. His brother kept the name, but he went Fonts.
Yep.
That didn't make sense. There's nothing wrong with Fontes.
No. Remember he was riding around on the golf cart smoking a cigar?
Yeah. He was a character.
They've all had seasons... with no wins.
Okay. Chuck, the Cleveland Browns, the Houston Texans, and the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Detroit Lions all have something in common. Mm-hmm. What is it?
You got your stopwatch handy? Watch how fast he jumps in my wagon on this one, okay? Yeah. They have never been to a Super Bowl.
That is correct. Hazard looks perplexed. It's like, what?
Hey, that's not fair.
Hey, what up?
Yeah, you look more surprised no, I knew that than
that's
I...
That's true, but I think 2 or 3 of them actually have also had no, you know...
That's not what we're looking for.
That wasn't the answer. Just like Ron with that
word. Yeah, my Johnny jump up.
Your Johnny jump up.
Why don't you go Fabian on me, okay?
I'm going to go rolling on you.
No, you won't. All right, what's the score so far?
I'm winning. 2-1.
Woohoo! All right, Hazard, here we go. Look me in the eye, the good eye.
Wait
a
minute, I got to put a stent in first.
It's stent.
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 Yeah. A stent would be a stent with lint.
It's a medical device, you know, mesh kind of thing.
All right,
yes,
Hazard.
Ladies and gentlemen, go ahead.
What was unique about the naming of the 50th Super Bowl? 2 years ago, we had Super Bowl 50. What was unique about the naming of the 50th Super Bowl? Super Bowl 50. Something unique about it.
Unique about it?
Yep. By the way, Bob Costas will not be on television. He's no longer welcome to be part of the football crew.
Really?
Yeah, so NBC's got the Super Bowl.
Please tell me Joe Buck's not doing it.
I'm not so sure, but...
Oh, man.
A lot of people don't like Joe Buck.
I'm one of them.
No, Bob Costas?
Yeah.
Wow.
because he was outspoken about the football season and the protests and all that stuff. Huh? All right, Hazard, what was unique about the naming of the 50th Super Bowl?
I don't know. I'd say it's an XV1 kind of thing. I don't know.
Well, what do you think? XV1.
It'd be XVI, wouldn't it?
No.
I'm not sure what which is what. X.
If it were the 50th Super Bowl, it would be an... A what?
Anniversary.
Yeah. So what... I'm practically giving it away to you.
It's the 50th anniversary.
What's the Roman numeral for 50?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. I don't remember offhand. I don't know if it's X. What is it? It's...
What was unique about the Super Bowl on the 50th anniversary? What did they or didn't they do for the naming of the 50th Super Bowl? There. I got him stumped.
You do. He doesn't even have a smart alecky reply.
I know.
What? Well, I'm not listening. I'm not hearing anything out of you.
It's not my turn.
Would you like to pass?
I'll pass.
You'll pass. Chuck, what was unique about the naming of the 50th Super Bowl?
It has something to do with the Roman numeral designation, I'm going to guess.
Oh, it could very well be that.
What do you think I was saying there, Ace?
Well, what about the Roman numeral designation?
Wasn't the Super Bowl that was here, XXL?
Yeah, I think.
So.
Wait, no.
I'm trying to think.
I forgot. When was it? 2005, right?
Yeah.
It was Super Bowl XL, wasn't it?
XL.
I think.
I don't remember. I'm going to say it was the first time since Super Bowl X. That there were no X's involved in the Roman numeral. Am I close?
You're close.
No cookie, though.
No cookie. Hazard, what say you?
Well, I'd be the first one that they could do it with one symbol.
No, because I could have done that with Super Bowl I and Super Bowl X. I thought of that.
What was unique about the naming of the 50th Super Bowl? Look at the logo for the 50th Super Bowl. What was missing?
The X.
All right, you give up?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was no Roman numeral at all.
Oh, I was going to say that.
They used Arabic numbers. It was the first Super Bowl without a Roman numeral. The championship game has been keeping count in Roman numerals since Super Bowl V in 1971. And Roman numerals for the first four Super Bowls were retroactively used. So the first four Super Bowls, they didn't have any numbers. It was just...
The Super Bowl.
Yeah. Lamar Hunt, the former owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, is credited with the idea of using Roman numerals, according to Chiefs historian Bob Moore. Hunt, who also gave the Super Bowl its name, is one of the founders of the American Football League and was on a committee to organize the first Super Bowl in 1967 when it was still officially called the NFL-AFL Championship. And the NFL didn't model after the Olympics. Instead, NFL and AFL representatives decided to number the games rather than referring to them by year to prevent confusion due to the fact that the championship game is played in a different calendar year than the regular season. The Roman numerals were used to make the game seem more prestigious back when the Super Bowl was not yet the most watched television event of the year. In the early years, the Roman numerals were simple and recognizable, but they got more complex as the years went on. I mean, we're having problems. You know, X what? Carry the L? Many people have complained about the Roman numeral system, saying it is pretentious and outdated. But the NFL is committed to honoring its roots. However, for Super Bowl 50, the NFL took a one-year break from its tradition of Roman numerals and opted for the Arabic numerals instead. This move was made because of concerns about confusion arising from using only an L, the Roman numeral for 50, in the event's name. Using the number 50 was found to be much more appealing than L on many levels. from the negativity associated with the letter L standing for losing to the aesthetic challenges posed by using the letter on social media. Super Bowl L.
I was so close.
Yes, you were. So in 2016 and 2016 only, the Super Bowl used more traditional numbering. The NFL returned to Roman numerals. The NFL returned to Roman numerals for Super Bowl 51, LI. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, I've got two more here.
You better have two more.
Jeez.
Wow. What? Jeez.
He's getting all rolling down here.
Yeah.
All right. Has
Heimlich maneuver or whatever.
Has a host team ever played in a Super Bowl in their own stadium?
No.
Chuck, what say you?
No,
that is correct. Only two NFL teams have reached the Super Bowl hosted in their home market. The 49ers, who played Super Bowl 19 in Stanford Stadium rather than Candlestick Park, and the LA Rams, who played Super Bowl 14 in the Rose Bowl rather than the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. Had the Minnesota Vikings made it this year, fellas, it would have been the first time a team would play in their stadium while hosting a Super Bowl. And on top of that, Minnesota would have been considered the visiting team and would have had to suit up in the visiting team's locker room.
Whoa. That I did not know.
Yeah. So that's that. And finally, Super Bowl Sunday, Hazard, is the second largest food consumption day in the United States. What is the first? His mouth is full.
Thanksgiving.
Chuck, what say you? Super Bowl Sunday is the second largest food consumption day in the United States. What is the first?
I'm going to go Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, that is right. Here's something else. As Tom Brady gets ready to finish his 18th NFL season, there is not a lot he hasn't accomplished in his career. Brady holds so many records that the NFL record book should probably just be named after him whenever he decides to retire.
Probably.
Yeah. However, there is one thing that Brady has never done, and if the Patriots beat the Eagles in Super Bowl 52, he'll become the first quarterback in NFL history to pull it off. Lead the NFL in passing yards and win the Lombardi Trophy in the same year. Never been done before.
Oh, really?
Yep. Believe it or not, that's never been done in the Super Bowl era. Just think about that for a second. Not once have we ever seen a quarterback lead the NFL in passing yards and win the Super Bowl. So it should be an historic Super Bowl this year. All right. One final song, and then we're out of here.
I won, by the way.
Yes,
you did.
For those
keeping track at home. Our friends from around here, the band Kaleido, is currently on tour. They're playing in Florida tonight. Let's go back to their 2014 release, Unbreakable. This is My Rock and Roll on Motor City Static.
Kaleido, taking back My Rock and Roll on Motor City Static. Time to go, Chuck.
All right, see ya.
Well, that was quick.
I know we're up against the clock here.
Well, that's fine. Again, we won't be here next Sunday night, so there will be a best of. And then we'll come back with Eric Ozarczyk and Alan Maestri on the 11th.
All right.
If their schedules hold up. And then we're booked through the end of February, so everything's
good.
Look
at
that. Love it. All right, Motor City Static, we're done. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, MotorCityStatic.com, MotorCityStatic.com. Have a wonderful week.